Back up this evening where we left off this morning, and man, thank the Lord for His goodness and grace and His help in preaching this morning and how He helped me, and I hope the service and the message was a blessing to you. And we're going to pick back up, and we're going to talk about this part in verses number 11 down through the end of the chapter, the Lord being our helper. And as I said, this is the first message on Joshua, and there's four things that God's given me about Joshua. And one is Joshua's a soldier, and our next message will be Joshua was a servant. And then we'll see that Joshua was a student. And then the fourth one, I don't really know how I'm going to title it with an S, and I may have to change. Y'all know me, I have to have everything kind of together there. But you'll find there Joshua was a worshiper. You'll find there that when God came down upon the mountain there with Moses, and remember Moses came off the mountain and his face shone with such glory that he had to put a veil over his face, you'll find there that Joshua stayed on the mountain with the Lord. And he stayed up there. And so Joshua had got to see some things that other men had never got to see. But we're going to look at some things in Joshua's life, and that's about how to have success and how to be successful. And we talked this morning about you must be a soldier, and you must be willing to fight and ready to fight. And remember, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And we know that the battles that we are facing is a spiritual battle. And let's begin reading in verse number 11. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses, his hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Father, thank you, Lord, for this word. Thank you, God, for the privilege you give us to preach the word of God tonight. Lord, our heart's heavy and our heart's concerned, God, for Brother Jack. And Father, we pray you'd touch him once again. But Lord, we pray you'd help us, Lord, to take our hearts and our minds off of him tonight. Tune our hearts, Lord, unto you. And God, in the word of God and the things of God, Lord, you'd have us to hear. Lord, God, help us, Lord, to be a successful Christian, Lord, in this life. Help us, Lord, God, I pray, to be the servant, God, that you would have us to be. Lord, I want to live a successful life, Lord. I want to have a successful year, Lord. I'm tired, Lord, of living in fear, and I'm tired, Lord, of living, God, waiting for a better day to serve you. And God, we're living in the best days, God, that we've ever lived. And Lord, I know, God, that there's a lot going on in our society and a lot going on in our world. And God, there's new variants coming out every week, God, it seems, Lord, of the virus. But Lord, we know that, God, that you're the God, the creator, and Lord, you're the healer, and Lord God, that you could stop this thing if you wanted to, but Lord, you've allowed it to come into our lives for a purpose. But Lord, I pray that, God, that you would help us, Lord, to be soldiers of the cross, Lord, soldiers, God, of the word of God, Lord, soldiers, God, for the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to stand in these days and do our part. In Jesus' name I humbly pray, amen. I'm not going to re-preach this morning, but remember the last thing that I ended with this morning was that surrender was not an option. Surrender in this battle is not an option. We don't have an option to surrender. Remember, if we will surrender ourselves, submit ourselves to the cause, and we'll submit ourselves to the Creator, and we'll submit ourselves to the commander, or chairman that God has put over us, we'll understand this, and that we will see that surrender is not an option. There's not an option in for surrendering in this Christian life. The Bible said this, there is no discharge from this war. There will never be a day until we are placed face up in the ground, or the Lord Jesus Christ calls us home, that the battles that we face on this earth will be over. There'll never be a day. Now there may be a time of reprieve, and there may be a time of refuge in our lives, but understand this, just as sure as one battle is ended, another battle is beginning, and you can look in the end of that, and I'll bring that back out at the end, but look at what God said in verse number 16. He said that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Guess what? The war is still going on. Remember, Amalek was the grandson of Esau. He was born after the flesh. And every time that the Spirit of God there comes into our lives and begins to work, and whether it be in the church house or our personal lives, then came Amalek, and he raises his head and he tries to discourage us and to keep us from going on. Remember, God had given the children of Israel some promises. He had promised them a land. He promised them a place flowing with milk and honey. And that's not heaven, that's the Christian life here after salvation. And God has made some promises to us, but the fact of the matter is there's some battles that we've got to face till we get there. And there's some battles we're going to have to face when we get there. But surrender was not an option. Paul told young Timothy, he said, endure hardness as a good soldier. Matthew 10:22, and I've been praying about this verse for some time and asking the Lord to give me some direction about it, and I've heard it preached, and those who believe the word salvation, they use it, but it's being took out of context. Jesus said in Matthew chapter number 10, if you have a Bible, turn to Matthew chapter number 10. Book of Matthew chapter number 10. Let me read this verse to you. I've got part of it written down, but I want to read the whole verse to you. And this verse has been taken out of context. Remember, we got to take Scripture in context. Jesus is talking there to the disciples about what's going to happen and while the things they're going to face. Look in verse number 16 in Matthew chapter number 10. The Bible says, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues, and ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents, and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. That doesn't mean that we have to endure to the end to have salvation. What that means is, and you taking that in context, is that understand that you're going to have to endure some hardness for a little while, but after the hardness has come, and it's going to be for a moment, you endure to the end and you're going to be saved. What that means is there's a better day of coming. There is a shortness of this suffering that you're facing, and just as sure it may be raining today and it's cold and cloudy and lots of rain is falling on the outside, but guess what? The sun's coming up in the morning. And that's what he's saying. He that's enduring to the end shall be saved. It's only going to be a moment that you're facing this trial or this tribulation. And understand this, as we see this battle, that the endure hardness as a good soldier, that there's an endurance in this battle that we must face. And understand, there's going to be some discouraging times. And I talked about that a little bit this morning, about verse number 11. The Bible said, and Amalek prevailed. Sometimes it's going to seem like the enemy's going to win and have the upper hand. I understand that's not the time to tuck tail and run. It's not the time to understand there's sometimes that we need to steal away and find the closet and get away with God and pray and seek God's face, seek God's strength and power in our life. But just because the battle gets hard doesn't mean that we're to give up, that we're to quit fighting, that we're to keep moving forward, that we're to keep progressing. Sometimes the enemy's going to prevail, and understand this, there's a reason behind the enemy prevailing in our life. But sometimes when that enemy prevails in our life, we have the mindset of David. I looked on my right hand and he said, refuge had fled me. I looked on my left and there was no man to care for my soul. Sometimes it seems in the battles of life that we're facing that we're all alone and there's nobody else there. But understand this, we must remember this there as the Apostle Paul in Acts 27. He said, when sun nor moon nor stars had neither appeared in many days, all hope that we should be saved was then taken from us. In Acts 27, when they were there in that storm, there the Areopagus, and remember Paul told them, it's not good to sail. This is the wrong sailing time, men. We don't need to go. We don't need to go. But then Paul himself got concerned. He said, man, we started throwing stuff off the ship. And he said, I was even beginning to lose my hope. But he said, but there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. Understand this, child of God, you're not in the battle of alone. And we're going to look at that in just a moment. I understand just because there may be some days that you feel you're getting defeated and the enemy's prevailing, it's not time to quit fighting. It's time you dig in and fight a little harder. You fight a little harder. Job said this. He said, oh, that I knew where he was. He said, oh, that I might find him, that I might come into his seat. He said, surely I would order my cause before him. Peter wrote and he said, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as some strange thing happened unto you. Man, is it not? I don't understand. It still amazes me why I get amazed that I face trials. I'm honest. Why do we get amazed? Why do we get amazed and wonder, well, Lord, why am I facing this trial? Why am I facing this battle? Peter said, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials that challenge you. Has some strange thing happened to you? He said, but rejoice in as much as ye are partaker of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Remember, he that endureth then shall be saved. He said, this thing's just for a short season, a short time. He said, there's a better day coming. 2 Corinthians 4:16, he said, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. He said, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Now think about this. And we have people in here who's lost spouses and buried them, and yes, there's still an emptiness, and I'm sure a hole there in their life. But think about this. The severity of the trial is not as severe today as it was then. I'm not saying there's not an emptiness, and I'm not saying there's not a hurt. But what I'm saying is this, that was for a moment. Think about some of the hardest days in your life that you faced as a child of God. Some of the strongest battles that you faced. It was just a moment. It was just a moment in time. It was there. And yeah, God's seen you through it. And we're going to look at that in just a moment. But those things are happening just for a moment. But it works in us, the Bible says, a far more exceeding weight of glory. Paul said this. He said, when I could no longer forbear, he said, I thought it good to be left alone at Athens. Understand, there's going to be days when it seems that all hope is gone, that there's nobody that cares and there's nothing that you can do, and you're going to be like Job and you can't find God, and you're going to be like David and you can't find no help, and you're going to be like Paul and you're going to lose all hope, and you're going to say, what is going on? And Paul said, when I could no longer forbear, he said, I thought it good to be left alone at Athens. He said, I just couldn't take it no more. Amalek will prevail in your life some days. Remember that. As a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is going to be times in your life that Amalek will prevail. We will be reminded in our battles that we're not strong enough to win the battles. That's why Amalek prevails. Think about this. It's every day was a good day, and every day is a good day, but every day, and we can live a victorious life in the Lord Jesus Christ, but if we ever had no battles, and we had never had no heartaches, we never had no hard time, and we never got, God never put us into the battles, that it did not require something more than our strength, guess what? We would get lifted up with pride. We would get to the point that we don't need God in our lives. We'd say, Lord, I'm big enough. I can handle this. And beloved, that's exactly why the Lord allows Amalek to prevail sometimes in our life, to remind us that we're like the psalmist. And he said, I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. And we're reminded, just as Paul, I'm there. He said, lest I should be exalted above measure. He said, he hath given me a thorn in the flesh. I'm Satan there to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. But sometimes the Lord allows Amalek to prevail in our life, lest we should be exalted above measure and forget that we need God. It's not that God's against us. It's just God showing us how much we need Him. We'll be reminded in our battles that we're not strong enough to win the battles. Just remember Zechariah 4:6 said this, God, as Zechariah answered, then he answered that the Lord answered, he said, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by power nor by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Understand this today. This self-help movement that's been going around since the late 90s will get you in a mess real quick. Yeah, I believe the Lord helps those who helps themselves. But I'm just going to be honest with you. You get into this self-help thing and you're going to find yourself, God will put you into some things and you'll be at the bottom of the barrel lifting your eyes up and saying, God, where are you? I need the Lord. Because God empowered us to overcome the evilness in this world and to win the battles that He allows us to come into our life. But there is no good thing in our flesh. Paul said, I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. The will is present with me, but how to form that which is good, I find not. That's self-help there. When you depend upon the power of your flesh to win the battles, you're going to get defeated. He said, not by power nor by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Paul said this, he said, I take pleasures in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I made strong. God has showed Himself the strongest to me in my life and the most prevalent in my life in my weakest times. In the times when I could not find no help from nobody else. In the time when I could not help myself. And when I, like Paul, all hope that I should be saved. And I'm not talking about being born again, but saved out of my situation, saved from that present battle. Beloved, it's when I hit the bottom and I cried out to God and said, God, if you don't, it won't. God stepped in and has done things in my life, and I can look back over it. Man, when I was weak, then was I made strong. But I'm just going to remind you that sometimes the Lord allows Amalek to prevail in our lives to remind us of who we are and that we need Him. The Bible said this in Ephesians 6:10. He said, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. Not your own flesh, not your own powers. We've been preaching through the book of Romans and on Wednesday night in Romans chapter 7. Man, that great dissertation that he says, man, understand, it's not in you to do good. When you do want to do good, evil's present with you. But God allows the enemy to come into our lives to battle us and sometimes to prevail over us, to remind us that we can't do it. And that we need God. The duration of the battle. Notice what the Bible said here. Notice the Bible said, look at the end of verse number 12. But let's just read all of number 12. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. Then it says, and Joshua discomfited Amalek. Man, if Moses was up on that mountain holding his hands up to the going down of the sun, and the whole time that Joshua was in the valley fighting the battle, guess what? Joshua was fighting to the going down of the sun. See, sometimes that battle we're in, the duration of it, it's not just a few moments of time. And I talked about that this morning. But it is just for a moment when you look at it compared to our life. When you compare every day of our life to eternity, or one day of our life to the 90 years or 70 years, whatever it is that we live, there is a duration of it. The duration of that battle may go on for a while. I mean, as I said, just as Paul said, when sun nor moon nor stars in many days appeared. He said, man, he said, there was no sign of light, period. He said, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. I hate to be the bearer of bad news. You're going to face some battles in your life, but they're going to go on for a little good while. And guess what? You're going to have to be, that's when the good soldier kicks in. I'm talking about how to have success in this life. That's when you wake up in the morning and you pull your boots on and you stand at attention and you put your armor on and you go back to fight. You don't tote tail and run. You don't turn over and play dead. Yeah, I know there's times you wanting to, but the fact of the matter is the battle's still going on and you've still got to face it or you're going to get defeated. The duration of the battle. But I like this part. Look in verse number 9. I'm glad we're not left alone to fight by ourselves. I'm glad there's some divine intervention on our behalf. Look in verse number 9. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. Verse number 10. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands. I'm the one on the other side, and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Do you understand that there was divine intervention on behalf of Joshua? Listen to me this morning. There was somebody at a higher elevation interceding on behalf of Joshua. That's going to come across you in just a moment. That there's somebody on a higher elevation that's interceding for your battle down here. Think about it. Joshua couldn't see Moses, but Moses could see Joshua. And man, Moses was up there holding that rod up, and the rod of God that God had given him, and every time he'd hold the rod up high, beloved, the Joshua and them would prevail, but every time the rod began to fall, beloved, Amalek began to prevail. And so what happened was this, there was a man by the name of Aaron and the name of Hur, and they grabbed a rock there for Moses to sit on, and he took a seat there, and one got on one side of his arm, and one got on the other side, and they held the arms of the man of God up. I'm there with the rod of God. Somebody was interceding on behalf of those that was fighting the battle. And thank God tonight, beloved. Beloved, we've got somebody that's seated at a higher elevation than what we are on tonight. And beloved, they're interceding to the Father on our behalf. He ever lives to make intercession for us. Just as he seen them, the disciples roaring on the sea. I'm there in the midst of the sea of the storm. I'm knowing exactly what they were doing. I'm knowing exactly what they were facing. I'm beloved, he was on the mountaintop praying, thank God tonight. I'm beloved, when we're in the middle of the battle, I'm beloved, there's somebody on a higher elevation that's interceding for us. When we can't do it, he's doing it for us. Hallelujah. I'm glad that I have a Savior who's seated at a higher elevation tonight. ever living to make intercession for me. Man, every time that Moses' hand began to fall, Joshua there began to lose the battle. But may I say unto you, my Savior's hand, they never fall. Moses never took his eyes off that battle. May I say to you, my Savior never takes his eyes off of me. No matter what I'm doing, no matter how bad I'm fighting, no matter how weak I get, I thank God that I've got a Savior who's seated in higher elevation than I am. And I might not see Him, and I might not hear Him, and I might not feel Him, but thanks be to God, He's interceding on my behalf. There's a divine intervention in our lives by the Savior. That ought to encourage you. Remember, there's no surrender. There's no surrender. That ought to encourage you to go on and say, hey, look, this battle, yeah, it's rough and it's hard, but thank God He's not forgot about me. Thank God He's not left me down here all alone. We have a divine intervention. And understand this, when that divine intervention takes place, because remember, as Zechariah said, not by power nor by might, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Remember, the Bible says this, that God's not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Remember, child of God, today, that you're not left here alone to fight this battle. There's a Spirit of God that lives in you, that works in you. You've been endued with power from on high. And beloved, we have been equipped to win the battle. And we have a Savior who's interceding on our behalf, who's cheering us on. And notice here, the discomfiting will come. I'm going to pull up Brother Wells and just say number next. But on verse 13, and Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people. When you do your part, listen to me, God will do His. As I quoted you this morning in Sunday school about the fables and old wives' tales and all that, and those things that we hear that really are not biblical truth, okay? But you can read through the pages of the Word of God that God helps those who help themselves. And Joshua there, we've seen how that he took the courage and made a choice to fight this battle. He chose his soldiers who he wanted to fight with him to win this battle. And we see how that God intervened in this battle and God fought the battle for Joshua. But Joshua discomfited, put Amalek on the run. He hindered him, he lamed him, he wounded him. Understand this. Here is the mindset of most of us today. Let somebody else fight my battle. And we wonder why God doesn't work in our lives. When you look tonight at the house of God, and I know that there's some people that's providentially hindered because of sickness. But you look tonight, there's people that are facing battles that belong to our church that are not in the house of God because they're wanting somebody else to fight their battles. I'll be honest with you, the days of my life that's the hardest is the days that I want to be at the house of God the most. Why? Because I need encouragement and I need God to strengthen me and I need God to help me and my pastor. And I remember this, and there's been times that I've said this, if I could just get to the house of God, if I could just get to the house of God, I knew that I could find some help and I knew that I could find some strength. But there's a lot today they just want somebody else to fight their battle. There's a lot like this younger generation crowd and this menace on our society today that don't want to work. They're a menace to our society, I'll say it. And I got Bible to back it up. Man don't work, don't eat. Man don't provide for his own house, he's worse than an infidel. You sitting at home, you living off my money, you're worse than an infidel. These jobs would be offered all over this county. It's a menace to our society. They're not adding nothing to society. They want somebody else to fight their battles. They want somebody else to do the work. Understand this, Joshua had to go to war. You and I have to go to war. We have to fight, but the discomfiting will come. Remember this, and I'll say this to you, and I'll move on. Remember, God helps those who help themselves. He invested too much in us. Are you listening to me? I want everybody to listen, because this is not charismatic. This is Bible preaching. God never intended for you and I to be losers. Never. I didn't say He didn't intend for us sometimes to suffer. But God never intended for us to be losers. We are not losers, we're winners. Christ died for us. God gave His very best for me and you, not to be losers, but to be winners. And this is not a self-help gospel, and this is not charismatic, but He invested too much into me to me to be a loser. My Bible said this, greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. That's not a loser attitude. My Bible says this, for He says, for wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. That's not a loser attitude. He said this, He's given me the strength, for God's not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's not a loser attitude or mindset. The Bible says this, be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. That's not a loser's attitude. That's a winner's mindset. 1 John 4:4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. That's not a loser's attitude. That's a victor's attitude. The Bible says this, 1 Corinthians 15:58, thanks be to God which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's not a losing attitude. That's a winning attitude. God never intended for His children to be losers on this earth. We're winners. We're not of this world. And our winning may not be to this world's standards. But God did not equip us to lose. He equipped us to win. But we've lost that mindset. How many times do you feel like a winner? If I ask you, how many times do you feel like a loser? 10 times a week? 20 times a week? 30 times a week? You're not a loser. God didn't equip you to lose. The enemy might prevail, but you must remember that I'm a winner. You say that's a wrong attitude. No, that's Bible right. Tell me what you do with 1 Corinthians 15:58. Thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't belong to the devil. That's the losing sign. Man, we sing that song. I once drifted out in sin, had no hope, no joy within, and my soul was burdened down with pride. But then my Savior came along, and He showed me I was wrong. Now I know I'm on the winning side. And we sing it. Well, I am on the winning side. I am on the winning side. Out in sin, no more will I abide. But what do? That's good in the house of God. But come Monday morning, what do? We're not losers. We're winners. God's equipped us to win. We've got our Savior sitting at a higher elevation that's interceding on our behalf. He has given us the power to overcome. He says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. You're overcomers. You're achievers. We're not losers. You say, well, how do I deal with that? How do I deal with those thoughts? That's why he said, listen to me, the weapons of our warfare are not mighty, are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. You say, well, that's self-help. No. That's taking the Word of God, and that's claiming the Word of God, and that's realizing the promises of God that God's given you, and that's telling the devil that he don't have no place in your life. That's telling him he can say you're a loser all day long, but you can say, hey, I'm not the loser. You're the one that lost on the third day. He got up, and he lives, and he reigns forevermore, and guess what? One day you're going to hell. He's going there. I read the back of the book. I'm not going to be a winner. I'm a winner now. Amen. The Bible says there that Joshua discomfited, that he prevailed over Amalek. He's given us the victory. And then I'll look at this one in verse number 14. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book. There's a script to remind you. Remember, we talked about that surrender was not an option. Then our next point here is there's a script to remind you. And I'm closing with these two things. God told Moses to write it down. He says, you write it down, Moses, the happenings of this day. He said, I want you to make a record of it. And he's noticed this. He didn't say write it on a piece of paper that it can be lost. He says you write it down in a book. He said there needs to be a record of this victory today. There needs to be a record of this battle today. Listen to me, child of God. There needs to be a record. And I want you to know what the Lord told him to do with it after he wrote it down. And he said rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. See, Joshua didn't know all that was going on top of that hill. You say, why did he tell him to rehearse it to Joshua? Because about 40 years, Moses is going to die. Moses is going to die. Joshua chapter 1 says, Moses, my servant, is dead. And the Lord spoke to Joshua, the servant of Moses. And he says, meditate on the law and the book of Moses. Joshua chapter number 1. You see, Joshua was the one who took them across the Jordan River. Joshua was the one who led them through the conquered the walls of Jericho. Joshua was the one that led them into the promised land. Y'all remember that, don't you? He said, what I need you to do, Moses, I need you to make a record of how that Joshua, through my help and my intervention, how that he discomfited Amalek, because he needs to be reminded that there's coming some battles into his life that's greater than this battle, but I didn't forsake him then and I won't forsake him now. Why is it we forget all the good things in our life that God's done for us? Think about it. All the times that the Lord's delivered us out of our situations and give us great victories. But we tend to forget them, don't we? All we can think about is the bad things that's happening in our life. all the battles that we have to face before us. As I said this morning, I don't know why I can't trust Jesus. He's never left me. He's never forsaken me. He's never been untrustworthy to me. He's never led me astray. He's never led me wrong. But Brother Green, I still cannot fathom why somebody that God has been so good to and the Lord has been so faithful to, that I can't trust Him. You know why I believe this? Because I've not recorded all the good things that God's done for me in my life. I used to write a journal. I used to write a journal about the good things of God in my life. And there'd be times I can remember that I'd go back and I'd sit down, Brother Green, and I'd read. On this day, this is what God did. On this day, this is what God did. Because I can't always recall them to mind. And I'm going to be honest with you, there's going to be some battles that's greater than the battle of Amalek in your life. And God said, you write her down and you rehearse it before Joshua. And He says, you remind him. You remind him of what happened that day. May I want to challenge you and encourage you to write down the good things of God in your life. And when you get down and out and discouraged, you go back and you pick it up and you read it. And then you'll be able to say, look what God's done for me. Look what He's brought me through. He's done what no other can do. Look what God's done for you. But not only that, there was a script to be written to remind. And I'm closing with this one. There was a sign to remember the Lord. Look in verse number 15. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. It means the Lord my banner. An altar of stone was built so we would remember who has our back. The banner was a sign that let everybody know whose side they was on. This right here is the banner of the United States of America. Wherever this flag is flown, and whoever is under this flag, it means that they're backed by the full power and authority of the United States of America. This is the banner of America right here. Okay? And that's what it states, that wherever this flag is flying, that it has the full support and power of the United States behind it. This is what God told Moses. He said, Moses, number one, He said, I want you to build an altar of stone. He said, so that when people come by, it will be a sign unto them. He said, but I want you to name that place Jehovah Nissi, which is the Lord is my banner. He said, I want you to know that, He says, I want you to do it and to remind them of my goodness and my faithfulness to them. And as long as they're fighting under my banner, they have my full support and my full power available unto them. This is our banner. This is our battle flag, the Christian flag, when it comes to our spiritual battles. And wherever this flag is flying, it means that we have the full power and support of the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. That's what that was saying. He says, Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner. The Lord is the one who I'm fighting for. The Lord is the one who sent me out. I have the full power and authority of and support of Him in my life. Understand, you're not alone down here. I thought of this, and I'm closing. In our in the song. And the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our what? Flag was still there. Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave? You see, I believe I look at that as he wrote that as he was in prison looking out the window. And every time the rocket's red glare would go off, it would lighten up the sky enough to see old glory still waving. And when the bombs would burst and the fire would go off, it would allow him to see old glory there was still waving. And what was it saying? It was giving proof through the night that the battle was still going on, but there were those that was fighting the battle and that they still had the full support of the United States of America. And beloved, understand, I have greater support under this flag, greater power I'm behind me under this flag than this flag. And all it means is that we have the support of the Lord on our side when we go to battle. And greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. You want to be a successful person in this life? Learn how to be a good soldier. Learn how to fight. I ain't talking about taking up arms. If you have to, you have to. But I'm talking about learn how to fight. And make sure the battles that you're fighting is for a worthy cause. We fight a lot of battles that's not a worthy cause. David said, is there not a cause? Be sure that battle that you fight this year, make sure it's a worthy cause. Don't miss heaven come to the pen. Make sure it's a worthy cause. Make sure it's a worthy battle. I'll be honest with you, there's some battles that the devil will send our way. We just need to kick them to the side and go on. Because they're distractions to keep us from the real battle. You need to ask yourself, is there a cause here for this battle? Is there a cause here for this fight? Is this a fight worth fighting for? Is this a fight worth giving my energy to? You need to be submitted to the cause. But then you need to be remembered that there are those that are interceding to God on your behalf for you to win. God has equipped you and empowered you to be successful and to win in this life. And I'm not talking, listen to me, I'm not talking about money in the bank. And I'm not talking about having great accolades. I'm not talking about having great lands and the word of being successful. But you and I can be successful Christians in this life. Well, I've never been successful at anything. Well, you can be. Amen. God's empowered us and God's equipped us to do it. We just got to submit ourselves to His will. We're standing all over the house.